Blog Talk Radio.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach Schulteis, how you doing today?
Joe, I'm ready for a good show. We got a lot to cover, a lot to talk about. We've got some of our usual guests, and we've got a great segment on the glory days. And we're hoping that as we start our fourth show, we can make it a little bit easier for people to either, you know, they got three ways to communicate us to us. They can call us, Joe. They can tweet us at Coach K and Joe, and they can Facebook message us at Coach K and Joe Show. So there's three ways to be a part of the show, and we really hope that people, as we keep moving forward, will feel more comfortable and get involved in the show. And as we move a little bit closer or move a little bit further down in our first segment, Joe, I do have two or three people who have sent me questions, and we'll touch base on those as we move a little bit further down in this first segment.
Okay, the number if you'd like to call in is 773-897-6325. Again, that's 773-897-6325. Coach K, Friday, Football Friday. I'm sitting here in my Jasper Wildcat football T-shirt, all fired up for tonight's game, a big game, sectional final against Evansville Wrights.
Yeah, I think that's an exciting matchup, Joe, and whether you're a Jasper purist football fan, a Wrights purist, and that's the interesting thing about the matchup with Evansville Wrights and Jasper. Can you find any two programs in southern Indiana, maybe in the state of Indiana, that have more purist or tradition or committed fan base than Wrights of Evansville, with the wonderful bowl to watch a game? It's like a college setting. And the Jasper Wildcats.
Well, you know, the great thing is driving the kids to school today, as every Friday of a home game, there were people setting their tables up and putting their chairs in to reserve their spot for tailgating for tonight. And I know that the community is excited and fired up and ready to go out and support the Wildcats tonight.
Well, you know, with the three games that you have to play in the sectional, potentially three games, and it being every week, it just takes a long time to get to this sectional championship. So once you get here, at least you have some time to prepare, but then you also have the nerves that go along with it, where conversely in basketball, everything happens. You may play three games in the sectional, but it's going to happen in about a four-day period. So it's pretty quick, and there's not as much time to prepare and much time to think about it. But this is exciting. In high school, the Wrights Panthers and the Jasper Wildcats, and I am sure that Jasper's happy to have them in the friendly confines of Alumni Stadium, Jerry Brewer Stadium.
Well, you know, potentially, you know, Jasper keeps winning. There's a good chance of seeing some great games along the way. Next week, potentially, Columbus East, and the weekend after that would be either Cathedral or Roncalli. So, you know, as the Wildcats keep going, the schedule just keeps staying stacked.
Yeah, and a little bit later on in the show, we'll have Brent Weibel and Walt Ferber on to talk about the Jasper perspective versus Wrights. And then we're very fortunate to have Chris Goodman talk to us a little bit about the Wrights perspective of things. And then as we move into another segment, we'll have Bill Somm, our Indianapolis connection, and he'll be able to fill us in on some potential regional semi-state matchups down the road as well. But hey, you know, since we got started here, let's just talk. Let's clean up a little bit. Major League Baseball ended the season, World Series with a Giants sweep against the Detroit Tigers. And a couple of questions, or a couple of comments, I guess. The Tigers failed to show up for their second World Series in several years. And I say that because the Cardinals pretty darn near swept them. And the viewers didn't show up this year, Joe.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, a lot of people, including this household, seeing how the Milligan household has either Yankee fans or Cardinal fans, were looking forward to that World Series, which I'm pretty sure a lot were. And, you know, the Tigers and the Giants just don't have the luster that those other two teams have.
Well, it was interesting to look at some of the statistics on the viewer ratings, this being the lowest for Fox. And if you go back a couple years, I think it was 2010, the Giants also had a low rating, not as low as this. So part of that East or West Coast situation probably didn't help the viewership. But I think another thing was that the Tigers came in so flat, especially after, you know, having a chance to rest a little bit. Verlander came in and he just didn't have it. And they got off on the wrong foot and they never recovered. And I think the viewers started to slip away as they saw, well, you know, it's 0-2, Tigers are down 0-2, Tigers are down 0-3, and they just didn't feel like the Tigers were going to have a shot. But you know, I was also disappointed in Cabrera, in Prince Fielder. I mean, Cabrera wins a Triple Crown for the first time since 68 or 69. Prince Fielder didn't do much. The Tigers just did not seem to bring a World Series-like play to the championship series.
Well, you know, the ratings were down, but apparently there were no rating books at the Aulis households, because I'm sure the Aulises were, you know, were pretty excited about that World Series championship.
And the Aulises you're referring to are the Aulis family that lives in Jasper. Large family, great supporters of sports in general and Jasper sports, and all from Bob to Bill to Tom to Bev, all big San Francisco Giant fans. And so they were probably the happiest. Now, can the Reds fans take any solace in this? I mean, can they look back and say, well, you know, we were up 2-0, we lost, but we lost to the eventual champions of the world?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I tell you what, Kenny, you know, I guess I'm not a real good person to talk about baseball, because once football season kicks in for me, I got tunnel vision. I don't know.
Well, I find that pretty interesting, Joe, because you were a pretty good baseball player in your time. But I think the bottom line is you don't follow the Reds and you don't follow the Giants, so you just follow the Yankees. So I'm sure that's part of it. Hey, one more thing on the baseball. I found it interesting as the playoffs were moving forward, Jim Leland, who outstanding manager for many, many, several decades with the Pirates, the Marlins, and the Tigers. He's been to several World Series, has a championship, and he was asked a question during the series about momentum switches. Did the Giants have the momentum and the Tigers need to find a way to get the momentum? And his response, and I'm paraphrasing, is he doesn't believe in a such thing as momentum in baseball. He believes that momentum only goes as far as your next pitcher. And I got to tell you, there may be people out there right now that agree with him, and they're saying, I don't agree with him, and I have a problem. I think there's momentum in everything you do. I think there's momentum in sports. I think there's momentum in business, and I think that baseball starts to look as big as a beach ball. That basketball hoop looks as big as a hula hoop. That football goal line looks bigger and closer than ever before. And those guy kicking the field goals looks at that goalpost, and it looks about 20 feet wider than normal. I disagree with manager Jim Leland on that. I really believe momentum can be found in just about everything you do.
Well, you know, momentum can also be the opposite way, too. I mean, all you have to do is look at the Yankees in the end, and it was the wrong side momentum. You know, everything, they couldn't do anything right, and everything just kind of avalanched on them, and you know, as a result, you know, they didn't get another championship. So,
well, if people want to weigh in, they can Facebook us, Coach K and Joe Show. They can tweet us at Coach K and Joe, or they can call in to the show. Moving on quickly, let's talk a little bit about IU-Purdue football. Looks like a tale of two seasons for these teams. IU, which started out poorly, defense struggled. A lot of people said, you know, I don't know if they'll win a game, much less a Big Ten game. They got a victory. They've got a Big Ten victory. They look better offensively, and they're starting to shore things up defensively. Coach Wilson looks like his team is turning in the right direction with momentum. On the other hand, Purdue football started out strong in the non-Big Ten season schedule and has struggled to find their way in the Big Ten.
Well, you know, Coach Hopes, for some reason, has been real stubborn about things, and he's kept Caleb Turbush in there. I liken that to, you know, you keep beating your head against a wall, you got to stop sooner or later, and you know, he's just not been very good. And last week, there's no secret that I'm a Purdue fan. And whenever I saw Robert Marv come off the bench in the second half, needless to say, I think I beat my bet up because I was sitting there watching. And the thought that he could have possibly went in, because, you know, he does have a knee injury, and I thought maybe he just wasn't able to play. And next thing I know, they put him in, and yeah, I know that the Boilermaker Nation, no one was real happy about that. But this week, Marv's supposed to be starting, and we'll see if they can reverse those fortunes at all. I mean, I think Coach Hope's probably feeling a little heat right now, and I think he's got a very hot seat. And you know, going to IU, you know, I have to give them credit. You know, I probably wish we had one of their three quarterbacks right now. The cradle of quarterbacks is just very lean at quarterbacks right now. And, you know, it's just not really a good situation. Kenny, we got a caller. Would you like to take them real fast?
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you.
Hello, you're on with Coach K and Joe. Hello? I think they may have hung up. I guess they got a little nervous, Kenny.
Joe, you scared them off. Hey, speaking of the statistical differences and actually likenesses between Purdue and IU, both teams are about the middle of the pack on rushing offense. Passing offense, Indiana is number one in the Big Ten. Purdue's around the middle of the pack. Rushing defense, both Purdue and Indiana pull up the rear with Purdue and then Indiana last. And then on passing defense, Purdue is middle of the pack and Indiana's towards the bottom. So neither team is tearing things up. But having said that, I do think we've seen momentum kind of switch. There's a confidence, there's a feeling at Indiana that the Hoosiers can get something done on the field, and right now Purdue continues to try to find their way. Hey, speaking of questions, Joe, I had I had several questions that were sent to me, and so I want to go through those quickly in our first segment. The first one is, Coach K, why has your voice sounded so raspy? This is from Kyle in Evansville. Kyle, believe it or not, my voice is pretty solid through most of the week. And although I'm not coaching on the high school level anymore, I have a son in sixth grade, and I coach his sixth grade team. And we practice one or two times a week because that's the only gym time we can get. And it's usually towards the end of the week, Wednesday or Thursday. And since I am not a quiet person and I can be a little passionate, I'm not talking just getting on them. I'm just talking about staying emotional during practice and keeping them focused. By the time I get to the Friday show, my voice is raspy because I'm not as used to getting out there and getting at the top of my lungs. So, Kyle, I appreciate the question. That's why I'm a little raspy. Joe doesn't have that problem. His voice is always good.
Oh,
question two, Coach K, I tried to listen live and call in last week, but couldn't connect. What gives? This is JB from Indy, Indianapolis. Joe, can you try to give him a little understanding of why he might not have been able to connect live last week?
Well, you know, the show's just really kind of blown up on us, and we only had a package that only had so many listeners, and we reached that real fast last week, and we've upped that a little bit, and we'll see how it goes this week, and maybe we'll have to keep upping it. But, you know, as long as we get more listeners, you know, we'll keep doing that. Now, live listeners we've been doing well on, but, you know, the archive listeners on the podcast has just been unbelievable. We started out with about around 1,000 on the first show. Last week we had about 1,300, 1,400, and this week we're really close to 2,000 listens, and it's just been a lot more than we could ever have expected. Now, Coach, we have the caller back on the line. We're going to give him one more chance, okay?
Okay. Go ahead, caller.
This is a secret caller. Okay, he's still hello. He must not like you, Kenny. He just hung up again. So,
well,
that's right.
We're going to ban this guy. Okay, question three. JB in Indianapolis, let me just say one more thing. Because our package is limited on live listeners, keep trying, get in early, and as we expand the show, maybe it'll be easier for you to get on. And that might be a good time to plug that, you know, as our show grows, we can help grow businesses. So if you're interested in advertising on the Coach K and Joe show, please give us a call. Remember, your ad is going on 24 hours a day, so your advertising dollars are always at work. You can call Milligan Communications at 812-636-2449. Last question that I have is from Tom in Jasper, and Tom says, Coach K, what have you heard about Jasper's new gym, and what's going to happen to the Cavi gym? Well, Tom, I'll tell you what. I haven't heard a whole lot about the Jasper gym, and I hope at some point we can get Athletic Director Andy Noblett on the show. I certainly would like to talk to him about making sure we understand exactly what's going to go on with the dynamics of the gym, when it'll be complete or when they hope it will be, what it will seat. I know that it's going to seat over 4,000, and there's been some speculation on whether that's a good thing or not, whether that's too many or not. And I've got kind of two feelings on that. First of all, I think it's too many. I think that in order to get the atmosphere you want, probably a gym of 3,800 would be enough. Some people have told me that the reason the gym's going to be bigger is the former principal said they needed it for graduation. I don't know about that. I've been to a couple graduations. I'm not sure that they need that much seating. But I will say there's another part of me that thinks maybe it should be the size they're making it or even bigger. At some point, I can see the IHSAA, for cost reasons, I can see the IHSAA going to individual game sites for the tournament. In other words, you wouldn't have a sectional at one site or a regional at one site. You might just play a game and have a home team, just like they do in football. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying that's always a possibility when it comes to cost. So, Tom, I'm not sure what's going to happen on the new Jasper gym, but I do want to – I think Joe and I would both like to talk a little bit about the Cavi gym. And first of all, I want to say how impressed I was with the group that got together in Jasper a few years ago. And I can tell you that my dad, also known as the Silver Fox, former Jasper coach Ed Schulteis, and several members of my family, helped support that group. But it was Rick Begley, I believe Kevin Messmer, Terry Tucker, and a few other people who decided to step up and make sure that the Cavi O'Neill gym stayed for perpetuity. There was a feeling they were going to tear it down, that it couldn't serve a purpose and it might cost too much to keep going. When actually, in all actuality, it was the exact opposite, and they had the foresight to see that. After a few $100,000, which they raised, they were able to put the gym, the Cavi O'Neill gym, back into full use. It's beautiful. It's well-maintained. And I thought the interesting thing about it was that there was some short-sightedness about its potential use or that it was important to the community. It sits downtown. And most communities, need their downtown to keep active and to keep thriving. And to do that, you need places where, that draw people. And so Rick and all those guys that got involved just did a great job. They went against a lot of people who were not for it. The school was school corporation was lukewarm in the beginning, but Bernie Vogler and the rest of the board jumped on and did a great job supporting it. And lo and behold, as if they had a premonition, Jasper's existing gym out at the high school had the terrible accident where the roof caved in. Fortunately, nobody was in it. And here comes the Cabby O'Neill gym, named after the great coach Leo C. Cabby O'Neill, who won the state championship at Jasper in 1949, all-time winner in wins and close in winning percentage. And they bring that gym back to full use, and it is served for volleyball, basketball, you name it. It's been going on in there. So I hope that the Cabby O'Neill gym will continue to be used by the community, not just for high school sports, but class reunions, community events, because it brings people downtown. It's a beautiful facility, and I'll tell you what, you don't name a facility after someone and then tear it down. And Cabby was looking down with those great Irish eyes and that smile, and the gym went back to full use. And Joe, what a godsend it's been for Jasper Sports.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing that impresses me about it too, I mean, you know, last week we played in the volleyball semi-state, and Jasper had a nice little student section there, and it was real loud. Now, if you put them in the gym of over 4,000 people, they become real small. You know, they don't become a whole lot of a factor. And those kids were loud and got behind their team. And, you know, I saw the same thing last year in basketball. And it should be interesting, you know, the new gym. So,
well, I hope that the Cabby gym will continue to be a source of use to the community. And I know that it will. I know that the people have put in so much time and effort. And to other communities out there that have a facility that isn't being used as much, I mean, let's think about it. Instead of going out and building a $2, $3, and $4 million facility, they were able to put about $300,000 or $400,000 in that gymnasium, which is located literally as you come into Jasper and you get into the heart of Jasper's downtown, and it's still centrally located to a lot of the great schools. And during Strassenfest or other events downtown, that gym can be utilized, that facility can be utilized. The Sager family put a beautiful park next to it, and what really looked to be an eyesore that needed to come tumbling down has turned into a beautiful spot in the middle of the community. And I would encourage all communities, before they get rid of the buildings that were built during the World War II era, because the construction at that time was about as good as you can get it. With a few $100,000 and a little love and volunteer work, you can put together a facility that looks as if it's brand new. And I would encourage listeners in the area, if you haven't gotten a chance to go up and see that gym since it's been redone and given new life, you really should. You might remember it from the 50s and 60s and 70s. When if you were the visiting team, you got 100 tickets to come in and see a game, and the other 2,900 were taken up by Jasper season ticket holders. So it is a beautiful gymnasium, and it's well worth the community looking at a future vision for it and keeping it involved in both sports and in community events. So that's where I look at that, Tom, as far as the Cabby Gym. And again, if people have comments or thoughts or feelings about that, please feel free to call the show at 773-897-6325, or we'll be happy to accept your tweets at Coach K and Joe, or Facebook is at Coach K and Joe Show. And don't forget to like us, too. What we got next, Joe?
Okay, next we're going to be talking Jasper Wildcat football, the big game tonight against Wrights, with WITZ play-by-play man Walt Ferber and WJTS play-by-play man Brent Weibel. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles. Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. Buy a fence in October and enjoy 90 days same as cash. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
I'm an assistant greenskeeper. They say that doesn't mean anything, you know, until I'm the head greenskeeper.
Can you give me a ruling on this?
Well, sit down. Come on.
No, I don't want to stick anything in here.
Well, here, take this thing off. This is dirty.
Don't go to too much trouble.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. We're with WITZ play-by-play man Walt Ferber and WJTS play-by-play man Brent Weibel. Guys, are you ready for the big game?
Everybody is.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Looks like the weather's cooperating, and it's going to be a beautiful day. And we haven't had many of those, have we, so far this season. So it seems like every Monday through Thursday is great, and then after that it goes downhill on Friday. But it looks like we're going to have a good one tonight. Walt, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. You've seen a lot of Wrights versus Jasper games. What's your take on this one here?
Well, it's going to be a heck of a matchup tonight. If we were playing this one the second or third game of the year, I think Jasper would be a prohibitive favorite in the ball game. But I think it's going to be a great contest. It's going to be a matter tonight on if a smallish Evansville Wrights defense can control the Jasper running attack. If they can't, Jasper should have a very, very good night tonight. And Jasper is going to have to get past the trickeration of Evansville Wrights. Drew Johnson, the quarterback's gotten a lot better, and he throws a ton of balls to Jordan Summers. So if Jasper can contain the passing of Johnson, and, of course, Keandre Vaughn is still in the backfield, Jasper, if Jasper gets a running attack going tonight, I think Jasper's going to win the game, though.
Hey, Brent, I got a question for you. You look at Wrights, I think they're 6-3 at this point. Started out the season really slow. Coach Lewis brought the group around. They play in a very tough SIAC, plus they play a couple tough out-of-conference games. On the converse, you've got the Jasper Wildcats, who Coach Aarons has done a great job with, always does. Coach Lewis was praising the Wildcats in the paper this week, saying that the tradition and the tough football continues to be taught through the grade level and on into the high school level, and that's a compliment to Coach Aarons. Jasper's in the Big Eight. Do you see any concern with the schedule that Wrights has played versus the schedule that Jasper plays in as far as being prepared for this matchup tonight?
Well, Kenny, Evansville Wrights 8-3 now after their two sectional wins. You're right. Probably the three teams that they have lost to number one, they're all quality teams. They're teams that could have any one of them beaten a Jasper team. Yeah, I think you've hit the nail right on the head. The big concern for the Jasper program is the schedule. But that being said, you know, how do you handle that? I mean, you talk to five guys on the square in Jasper, Kenny, you'll get five different opinions of who they should play, how they should toughen the schedule, what they should do. You know, you're a member of the Big Eight, and as you know, having been the basketball coach at Jasper High School, whenever you look at a conference affiliation, you have to look beyond one sport. You can't just dial in football for that. That being the case, I don't think there's any question that Evansville has probably played a tougher schedule than what Jasper has. But Jasper's answered the bell every Friday night, and what more can they do at this point? I think the key word to me in this ball game is preparedness. You said it, and I think that is the key to this ball game. There have been times where Jasper has played Wrights in the bowl, and we all felt like they were very prepared. But you don't prepare for an athlete like a McIntosh and some of the people they had. I'm not sure you can prepare for the athletes they have this year, but you hope that you have, and you hope that you've learned from those past ball games where you've gone up against them and they pretty well manhandled you. I think the defense, though, for this Jasper ball club is the best that they have had, maybe, certainly in the 13 years that I've been doing the play-by-play on WJTS, without question, from top to bottom, man for man, it's the best defense they've had. It's not the biggest defense they've had, but as far as speed, quickness, coverage, playing with emotion, dialing in with Coach Eckert, it's the best they have had. Now, can they answer the bell tonight? That remains to be seen. It's a big question.
Hey, Walt, you've been covering football. You've been covering sports for years and years, and I don't want to give your age away, but you've been there a long time. When it comes to football, whether it's regular season or we get into these playoffs, you know, I think that it's great that Jasper has this game at home. Do you see a home field advantage in football the way you might see one in basketball?
Well, you know, you look back to it, and we've had a lot better success with rights at Jerry Brewer Alumni Stadium than we have on the road. I remember back in 2008, we got a 38-35 winning against them there. We haven't been too competitive the last time down at the Rights Bowl. But I think more than the home field advantage, and this is I'm not besmirching this Rights team. This Rights team is a good Rights team. But there is no McIntosh on this team. And when I look at it, and when I look at prototypical Jasper football, Ken, I look at who's going to be lining up against who. And Jasper, for the most part, has maybe a 30 to 50-pound weight advantage on everybody on the defensive side of the football. So I look for Jasper to be able to control the trenches tonight, and it's going to be tough, but I feel pretty good about the ball game.
Well, you know, guys, I'll tell you, I've seen Wrights play a couple times, and one thing that Jasper, I think, has to be aware of is the big play. It seems like when Wrights gets in games, they'll make some mistakes defensively, which I think beckons well for the Wildcats, but they will come up with the big plays, that big pass or that big run. Walt, when you look at Tony Ahrens' defense, and I'll go to you first and Brent second, I think we've all been very positive about the defense and what Nick Eckert's done with them. Are we prepared to make sure we don't give up that big play?
Well, yeah, I think we're prepared as well as we could. You look from a passing standpoint, and Jordan Summers is getting well over half the receptions for Evansville Wrights, and I'm sure that Wrights is going to have somebody knowing what kind of chewing gum he chews tonight. And another thing that Wrights does that I think Jasper's going to be very cognizant of is they probably have more what I call trick plays in the arsenal than any team we will see this year. So you got to be ready for the halfback pass or the Statue of Liberty or these double reverse things. They're going to have to play smart assignment football. If they do that, you know, I think they'll be in pretty good stead. You know, this defense of Nick Eckert is humming right now. You know, you just go back to last week, an offense that put 65 points on the board against Evansville Harrison. First teamers didn't have a single point against the Jasper defense last year. Now, I know that their passing attack at Seymour is not nearly as good as what Wright's is, but I think as long as, you know, they pay attention, and this is a smart defense, Ken, I think as long as they pay attention and play good assignment football, you're not going to stop the big plays from happening, but I think you can probably curtail them enough to have a good shot at getting a win.
Brent, can you weigh in a little bit on the big plays as far as us stopping the defense, but also Jasper's ability to make the big play?
Well, it's a key to any football team, whether you can stop them or whether you can get it to go your way. And I think that that's probably why there might be a little more confidence in this Jasper team this year, is they have not given up the big play much this year. The Metcalf kid busted one for about an 80-yard touchdown run for Mount Carmel. But other than that, they've held the big play pretty much in check. And they got that taken care of right away, and that was one play. But, of course, in a game like this, one play might make the difference. But I think the athletes are actually out there. I think in Braden Betts, and I want to talk about number 14 for a minute, he completely took Richie out of his offensive game for Seymour. They put 14 on number 3, Kenny, the whole game, and I think they completed one pass to him on a quick slant. Other than that, Braden was all over him. And I think you're going to see number 14 following Summers a lot tonight. The thing I like, I always listen to, I like to hear what kids are talking about before a big game. I like to hear what coaches are telling them. And I like to hear how they're taking, how are they listening to Coach K or Coach Ahrens or Coach Eckert? What are they picking up? Are they really hearing the message? And the message I hear this week is, we got to watch number 6. We got to watch number 5. We know he's going to do this. We know he can do this if we're not careful. And I like what I'm seeing in the preparation, and I think that that is how you try to control big plays. Can they go out and not give up any? That's a big question, and I think it probably the answer is probably you can't stop a team like Wright's from getting a couple of big plays. What you hope you do is you can control them and you don't give them a lot of them, and you kind of can negate some of that with your own ground control and eat up the clock, and that's what Jasper always tries to do, and Kenny tonight will be no different.
Now, guys, I was down at the field last night, talked to the coaches. If the team's as intense and ready as the coaches are, we're going to be fine tonight. But, interviewing the coaches, the one thing I got from them was, and I wanted to get this opinion from both of you here because you've seen Wright's versus Jasper, is the one thing that all of them said to a man was, we're going to have to watch out for trick plays. Now, is that something that Wright's has done this year, or is that something that you all have seen in past games against Jasper? I know we've been talking about the big play, but by big play, are we also meaning trick plays? Brent, I'll let you go first.
Joe, I'd say that whenever you talk about the plays, when I think in the past, I don't think it was trick plays that hurt Jasper. I think it was big plays, and perhaps, but the thing that did not work for Jasper at all was trying to drop their defensive backs, and I'm talking about when McIntosh was there and their great receivers and the other players they had. Jasper gave them too much of a cushion on pass plays, and I think the sportscasters could see that, the players could see that, the fans could see that. I know the coaches could see that, and I think that's conversely why they gave up the big play in those. I think you always worry about the trick play, but having played Heritage Hills and Bob Clayton for these past many years, there is not a better coach that I have ever seen that can pull out a trick play and make it work at the big time. And I think that helps you prepare. Even though he didn't coach this year, the first year he was out, he had a knack, and he could dial it up. Joe, you've seen him. He could pull that play when it was a killer and it would win ball games, time after time after time. And I think having seen that and knowing that kind of thing can happen, I think that helps prepare Jasper for the game tonight.
Walt?
I don't think the last couple of times we played, including 2 years ago at the Wright's Bowl, they didn't need any trick plays. They pretty much, as Brent said, had the receivers. We gave them a little bit too much cushion. And you only use a trick play when you need it to win. If you can run over somebody otherwise, you're not going to have trick plays. I think maybe that says, and when you look at the talent up and down, and I said maybe the best coaching job that Tony Lewis has done, I think they do a little more trick plays than they have in the past because, they've needed to. They've pulled out all the stops, as they did last week against Evansville Central. In the overtime, they went for the two-point conversion on the first thing, going for the win right away. So, this is a team that's getting better, but they're a good team, but I don't see the superstars like I've seen in the past. And I think Coach Lewis knows that. And when you don't have, you know, quite as much firepower, I think that's when you go to those trick plays. You look at Jasper's trick plays this year. We haven't used very many of them, but they have been successful. I go back to the halfback pass in the Heritage Hills game. I don't think you use them unless you have to, and I think more or less they've probably done that a little more this year.
Well, guys, great stuff. And as we end this segment, I agree with you. You use them if you have to, or when you see that moment in the game materialize where you say, this is where this is going to work. We've got the focus where we need to be. They're looking for this. I think we can pull that off. Guys, I think it's going to be a great game. I would tell the fans, get out there early. If you're listening in Evansville, get up to Jasper early. If you're in Jasper, who kind of comes late sometimes, get out there early because the seats are going to be few and far between. Great stuff again this week, guys. I hope you'll be back with us next week.
Sounds great.
We hope so, too.
All right. We're going to end this segment and go to commercial. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
So what's in the November issue of Jasper Today? The Jasper Life with Mayor Terry Seitz, Sha Na Na, JHS Pops Concert, Football Diaries, U Indies, Adam Kinese, Eye on the Arch, Jordan Jones, Homegrown Business, Grounded Organic and Natural Foods, Jasper Icon, Cyril Burge, the Jasper Marching Band Report, and much more. Go to www.jaspertodayonline starting November 1st and click on the magazine cover of the Jasper Train Depot. You can also go to www.jaspertodayonline and read past issues. Jasper Today, taking Jasper into the 21st century as your multimedia magazine about Jasperites.
Does your website work for you? Think of your website as an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a website that doesn't produce results. Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help whip your site into shape. If you don't have a site yet, let Idea Fusion Media walk you through the entire process, from domain registration and hosting setup to the design and implementation of your site. To see how Idea Fusion Media can help you, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. Again, that's IdeaFusionMedia.com. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you.
Just tap it in. Just tap it in. Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Oh! Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Well, you can never go wrong with a little Adam Sandler to come back to the show. Yeah, you got to love that. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the local games out of the Evansville area. Of course, we just got done talking with Walt and Brent on the Wrights Jasper. We'll get a little different perspective with our next guest and contributor, Chris Goodman. I believe you're on the line.
I think I am too. Am I? Test, 1, 2. Should I do a test for you?
You are with us, Chris, and it's an exciting weekend of football because we finally, you know, how football kind of lingers a little bit on that sectional round. You've got several weeks, but we're into the championship games of sectionals on this Friday, so it's pretty exciting. Who's the game of the week this Friday?
We have on Local 7, we have Jeffersonville at Castle. Castle obviously is undefeated. Jeffersonville is 8-3. And like you said, anytime you get to sectional championship games, I think any of these games are awesome. And by the way, I love the Happy Gilmore tribute. That was a great way to start the segment. I mean, you talk about a fun sports movie. That was awesome.
Well, you know, since that is the game of the week and they're the 5A team, let's just start right there. Let's talk Jeffersonville and Castle. And, you know, Castle continues to impress on the football field with strength, with power, with quickness, and they're going up against a Jeffersonville team. And Chris, I think you'll be the first to admit, we don't see a lot on the southeastern part of the state in the southwest part. So as much as we know about Jeffersonville, we don't know But we do know their football has been getting better and better, and Doug Hurt and his Castle Knights will have a test tonight.
Yeah, you know, Castle's hit 50 points in four of their last six games, given up about two touchdowns a game roughly, so you can kind of see the disparity between those games. I mean, they're just beating people to a pulp right now. They've got a great football team. They beat North 42-7. Jeff just beat the same North Husky team, although North was a little bit better. They had some players back from injury by 10. So if you look at the like scores, you kind of think that. But here's a Jeff team that two seasons ago they were 1-9, like you said, 5-5 last year under Lonnie Oldham. He's done a great job. He's got that team to 8-3. But really for Jeffersonville, they're running into a team that's kind of been a juggernaut this year. There's so many good storylines for Castle. You got Mitch Gillis, one of the best in the SIC in a long time at quarterback. He's got almost 2,400 yards passing, 38 touchdowns, and he missed two games. He missed two games. He's got 38 touchdowns. That's pretty unbelievable. Then Andrew Finch, a 1,000-yard rusher, and they have what I think is probably the best receiver trio I've seen in the Tri-State ever. John Mark Anderson, Cameron Parrish, Joe Redburn. I mean, those guys are unbelievable. And Castle hasn't won a state since 1994. And that, in fact, they haven't even won a regional since 94. I think they're going to win tonight. It's going to be tough, though, in Class 5A as they move on. They'll probably get Center Grove, I think, from what I see. But, I mean, what a story for Castle. I mean, Doug Hurt, you probably know about this. He's been unreal at Castle, 57-25 in his seventh year as head coach. Lost his wife, Krista, who was battling cancer this year. So you just got to root for Castle. You look at the Indianapolis Colts situation and you see Chuck Pagano and all that happening up there, and you just kind of think these kids obviously want to win it for Coach Hurt, and it's obviously more than just about football at this point, but you'd like to see Castle go on and do great things.
Well, you know, adversity, I know it's a line that's overused a lot. Adversity brings teams closer together, but it really is true. Sometimes what's lacking on a team is an emotional tie. And when difficulty happens, and we certainly don't want difficulty such as Coach Hurt, his family's gone through, or anybody to go through that type of adversity. But it seems like for whatever reason, out of that tragedy, the emotional strings pull tightly together and they begin to form something different than they had before. So this is great for Castle, and we hope they go into this game and don't find themselves stubbing their toe as they did last year, I think, against Bedford and come out of there with a championship. Okay, let's go to 4A. We just talked with Walt Ferber, Brent Weibel over down here in Jasper about the Wildcat side of things with Wrights. Wrights coming in on a roll. Jasper been strong all year. What do we expect from Tony Lewis and his Panthers?
You know, here's a team, and listening to you guys just a minute ago talk about that, it made me so jealous. You know, it would cost an enormous amount of money, sat time for us to be up there and do that game, and there's some technical issues that would arise with that. Obviously, that's probably the game around the Tri-State that everybody wants to be at, and I think, like you said, you know, you're going to have to get there early because those tickets are going to go fast. But Wright, here's a team that started 1-3. They've won seven straight. They've avenged one of their losses already to Central. Last week, you guys talked about them going for two and a gutsy call by Tony Lewis, but their only other losses to Louisville Central and Castle, and those are two pretty good football teams. So if you look at Wright's record and they've got three losses, it's a little deceptive. They've got some balance on offense. Keandre Vaughn's a 1,000-yard rusher. The offensive and defensive line has certainly become stronger as the year has gone on. Tony Lewis, just an unbelievable record as a head coach, 52-10 in his 5 years at Wright's. And then you got Jasper, like Castle, they're 11-0. Wildcats haven't had a close game since, I think, back when they played Vincennes back in September, nearly 2 months ago, and Tony Aarons has had an unbelievable year, and I really like Sermersheim, and Nolan Aarons has been efficient at quarterback, so I'm really, really jealous. I mean, I think we're going to have a good game, Jeffersonville Castle, but I would love to be on hand to see Wright's at Jasper, because when those two teams have played up there, it seems like every time it's a good game, and I know that Wrights has a ton, and I mean a ton of respect for what Jasper does year in and year out. And my guess is Wrights is trying to figure out a way to keep the ball from Jasper from Jasper just having that ball and using the clock like they do. When they do that and keep your defense on the field for so long, I think if Tony Lewis could somehow avoid that, that would probably be one of his first goals. And of course, avoiding turnovers.
Now, Chris, this is Joe Milligan. Hey, real quick question about Wrights. You know, they did start at like 1-3. And, you know, what has been the transformation of this team from that point to where they're at today?
You know, I think I said this last week, and I think it probably came down to a team meeting where they just got together and said they didn't want their season to be that way. And then you have to look at the difficulty of schedule in the early season. They played a tough Henderson County team in their opener. They barely won that game. We did that game on the air. Then they come back and they play Castle and Louisville Central, and these teams are no slouches, you know. I mean, you talk about those couple of losses, then they lost to Central, and obviously the Bears were pretty good. They won a sectional last year. In fact, I think they beat Jasper in the sectional championship last year to claim their first sectional in over a decade. So, I mean, this is a Wrights team. You can say that maybe they've turned it around, but I think the talent has been there. They probably gelled a little more. They probably matured a little more at quarterback and on the offensive line. And here's a team that puts up a lot of points. If there's any question mark, maybe it's their defense going into this game. They've given up a lot of points in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be very emotional. Both fan bases are outstanding. The tradition is wonderful. And I'm sure the Panthers would rather have it in the bowl. But, you know, good football teams play good on the road as well as at home. So I look for it to be a really good game. Class 3A, we've got the upstart Titans at Gibson Southern under Coach Hart, and they're coming to play Memorial at Enloe Field. Memorial struggled through most of the year with some injuries, but also some undersized linemen. They've come back. They're 4-7 now. But the interesting story, I think, here for me, although I have ties with Memorial, I also have an emotional tie with Coach Hart in that when I came out of college, I was very fortunate to get the head coaching job basketball at Washington Catholic. And my dad also was a coach before me, and Coach Hart's in the same situation. And he has just done what I think is an outstanding job of raising not just the level of play, interest, emotion, confidence, and all those things that sometimes a young coach can bring in, or, let me preface this, a young at heart coach. I don't always think it's the age of the coach, it's how young your heart is. And he's both young at age and young at heart, and that Gibson Southern Memorial game should be a good one.
Should be, and you know, look at that on paper. I think I would probably have that down as the second most interesting game of the night, probably behind Wrights at Jasper, just because of the fact that Memorial, they started 0-4. They've got losses to Jasper, Modern Day North, and Belleville West, but now they're, like you said, they're 4-7 with blowout wins in the playoffs. Dane Hurley's getting better as a quarterback. McKinley Warren is a great runner, but then Gibson Southern, I mean, gosh, you got to just love this story like you were talking about. Nick Hart has just done such an amazing job in his first year, and I think there's no denying that that team had some talent coming in. Obviously, when you see them play and you see a quarterback like Jordan Scheller is one of the state leaders, almost 2,200 yards passing, a David Anguish, a 1,000-yard rusher, and then you got an offensive and a defensive line. They got some size. I mean, they're big. I mean, don't let anybody fool you. Gibson Southern's one of the bigger teams around the area. They got good linemen, a good running game, a good passing game. They're really balanced. But I think a lot of that and pulling that team together and getting that team to gel, you have to give the credit to Nick Hart and what an amazing job he's done in his first year. I think if you're another school, and I know that it's probably a little premature to talk about this, but if you're another school around the area, even the outlying area, you're probably looking at Nick Hart thinking, wow, this is a guy that can really get things done.
Yeah, and you make a great point about the size for Gibson Southern. I really think that gives them an opportunity to come into this game and really have an opportunity to win a sectional championship. And I wouldn't say that without it, because I think that sectional 3A Memorial is going to come in more years than not being the favorite and being odds on talent-wise, skill-level-wise better. But I think size this year bothers Memorial, and Coach Hurley and his staff will have the Tigers ready. There's no doubt about that. They've got a great tradition, but it does give Gibson Southern a chance to walk away with a sectional title. Class 2A, South Spencer, great tradition with the Rebels. They're 5-6, but again, They're coming around at the right time, but they're going to be playing an awfully, awfully tough modern-day team under the direction of Coach Gable. Thoughts on this game, Chris?
You know, we did that game last week in modern day. They hit a field goal to beat just a really rock-solid North Posey team, who I thought played with just such tremendous heart. Actually, both teams did, and Jacob Fleming hit a 40-plus-yard field goal at the gun kind of to win that game. Yeah, I think South Spencer's kind of up against it here. They started 0-5, but now they're 5-6. One of the greatest stories probably in the area on how they've kind of revamped that team and come back. I mean, Jason Fisher, you talk about coaching jobs. You got a team that's 0-5, you're 5-6, you're in the sectional championship. That's pretty amazing, I think, turning this team around. But, yeah, they've got their hands full tonight. The Rebels don't score a bunch of points, and obviously when you're playing modern day, you're going to have to score a bunch of points, and that's going to be tough against a pretty good modern day defense. The Rebels wins in the playoffs. They had a good draw. They beat Sullivan. They beat Forest Park. Modern day, meanwhile, they had to go at Southridge and then play North Posey. So you look at that, you look the way the sectional draw would be, and you would just assume that modern day would probably roll tonight at the bowl. But you never know. High school is different. South Spencer's on a roll. They play with a lot of heart. So hopefully it's a good game tonight, but I would probably see modern day coming out of that one.
Well, you know, the Class A game in the local area is Linton 11-0 at North Davies 5-6. And just real quickly, North Davies really does have a good football tradition, and they got off to a rough start, but they played well down the stretch. And the Linton Miners, I used to remember them mostly for basketball, but in this last decade, their football has been outstanding. So Linton will play at North Davies for the Class A sectional championship. Chris, as we end this segment, you've got the Friday night games. You've got a good one tonight. But again, for the people listening, just fill us in a little bit on what you're doing now.
Yeah, I do insurance. I work for American Family Insurance and actually have an office in Newburgh, pretty close to the Knob Hill restaurant. So that's kind of my main gig now, but I get to do some TV on the side at the Local 7 is nice enough and kind enough to allow me to do these high school football games, and we get to do a game of the week every week. We're going to even do some basketball this year. We did some basketball last year, so we try to spread it around. So it's awesome to get to see all the teams and to get to see all those coaches. Like I remember coming back in the day interviewing you and a guy that was pretty good that went to play basketball at Indiana years ago. So I miss seeing those contacts, but it's awfully nice that even though I do insurance now, I get to kind of stay around the sports atmosphere.
Well, if you're in the Newburgh area, stop in and see Chris in his office, talk some sports, and maybe write a little insurance with him. Chris, always stuff. You bring so much to the table. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to talking with you next week.
Thanks, Coach. My pleasure. Hope you guys have a good weekend and enjoy that game tonight. It should be a great one.
All right, we're going to take it to break. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Join Ken, Coach K, Schultheis, and Joe Milligan every Friday from 11 to 1 for the Coach K and Joe Show. High school sports, college sports, pro sports. They will talk about it all with guests from around the state. The Coach K and Joe Show brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. You can listen to the Coach K and Joe Show by going to jaspertodayonline.com and clicking on the link. You can also listen to archive shows there. It's the Coach K and Joe Show every Friday at 11 on jaspertodayonline.com.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Meatloaf. You know, love meatloaf. I might have to have Janet make some meatloaf this weekend or next, or maybe I'll just get the Bat Out of Hell album out and listen to Meatloaf. I don't know. Either one would be good. Hey, we're back on the show. A couple of things before we get to our next guest. Next week, because Joe Milligan, the Joe part of the show, is going to be on the road, we're going to go live on Thursday instead of Friday. I was going to take the show by myself, and believe me, I could talk the whole time and probably get pretty controversial, but I don't know how to run the control board yet, so Joe's critical for a while at least, so tune in with us next week on Thursday. And I also want to mention, remember, we have podcasts archived on our shows, our first four shows, which will follow this one. And if you are a business and you want to grow your business along with our show, please get in touch with the Coach K and Joe show at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449. Remember, it's 24 hours. You can't spend your advertising dollars any better. Plus, we'll give you a plug here and there on the show as well. So, okay, we're back, and we're going. I mean, this is an exciting weekend because it's sectional championship weekend around the state of Indiana for football. And we are now plugging into our main man from the Indianapolis area, Bill Somm. Bill, are you with us?
Hello, Coach. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's good to have you, Bill. We're going to be talking football playoffs around the Indianapolis area, and I think Joe's going to have a question for you at the end of the segment. But, hey, let's start talking about the Indianapolis area, and let's just look at the 5A right now. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in 5A this weekend with football playoffs.
Well, you have Pike and Avon. Pike's 8-3 and Avon's 7-4. That's going to be a really great football game. Last weekend, Pike rallied from a 17-point deficit to beat Zionsville by 1 point. And Avon won at a field goal as time ran out to win 16-14 over Terre Haute North. So I think you're going to see a very, very just good high school football game. Also, for the first time in about 3 weeks, we have a beautiful day up here. So I think all these football teams up here this weekend will get to play the type of offense and defense they want to. But in five there, I think that Pike-Avon game is going to be a very, very good game. Columbus North and Center Grove also are playing. Columbus Grove is 6-5. Center Grove is 10-1. Center Grove's a very good football team. They're very big and run the ball hard, and I think that Center Grove will probably prevail in that football game.
I know there's a lot of talk down here in the southern part of the state about a potential Castle who's undefeated matchup with Center Grove, and they're talking about Center Grove as a team. So that will be a game of interest around here. How about Fishers this year? How's the Fishers football team?
Fishers football team is a good football team. They play McCutcheon tonight, though, and McCutcheon is 3-8. So I don't think that they will be. I don't think Fishers will be tested tonight. I think they will move on and play in the regional game. They've had a pretty successful season. I don't know that Fishers is necessarily this year a Carmel, a Warren Central, a Ben Davis, but they are a very good football team, but probably not the class of five. You know, I think still up on this end of the state, we still kind of think Warren Central is where everyone has to go through. Warren Central is just a very, very good football team. They're big and they're strong and they're fast and their quarterback's a little bit different than the kind they've had in past years. He's more of a manager of the offense. But I think most people up here would tell you that Lawrence Central is the team to beat. And they play North Central tonight, which should not be – I mean, they're going to have to play hard, but North Central is just 4-7.
Yeah, it's tough in football if you're outmanned. You can't hold the ball like you might be able to. You might not have the shooting night, but I'll tell you what, as you look at 4A, let's start with a game that the Pope's even talking about in Rome. That's Roncalli at Cathedral.
Well, Roncalli's 9-2, Cathedral's 6-5. Obviously, those two schools play a little bit different schedules. Cathedral plays a national schedule. Roncalli, in fact, some of your listeners might be interested to know that they even refuse to play Cathedral anymore. Cathedral beat them 9 straight times. Having said that, I think tonight is just going to be is going to be one of the better games in the state. Ron Kiley runs the power pitch. They run the counter. They're a well-coached football team. This is a rematch from last year where Cathedral won it late. Cathedral's defense has played well this year. They're not as big or as fast as last year, but it's down at Arsenal Tech High School. And for those people that have been to that campus, it's an absolutely beautiful Indianapolis Public School System campus. It's also, as a sidebar, the New York Giants practice field for the Super Bowl was moved to Tech High School. So it's really a great facility with great turf tonight. And there'll probably be 7,000 or 8,000 people there tonight, Coach.
Wow, that's going to be a good game. I mean, you've got emotion, you've got good football programs, and there's nothing better than parochial schools with a little disdain for each other. And I say that jokingly. My kids attend one. So Franklin County at Columbus East. Columbus East still in it, looking good, looking like they could come out of there?
Yeah, I think so. Columbus East is very good. You know, they're an interesting team. You know, as we all know, they had one of the better quarterbacks in the United States last year, and then they come right back this year and have a really fine season. So that's a sound program. It's well coached. Again, I think, to be totally honest, as things move on, I'm not sure that they have the athletes necessarily to put them across the top. I think people in 4A would tell you that the Ron Kiley Cathedral game very well may give the edge to Lucas Oil to the team that wins that football game.
Well, we'll be looking at that game as well. Down to 3A, we got Greencastle at Chittard.
You know, Coach, it's an interesting game from a win-loss standpoint. Greencastle is 11-0. This is Chittard is 9-2. Greencastle, in 11 football games, have only given up 28 points. But having said that, Greencastle has the 278th easiest schedule in the state of Indiana. So, and as we all know, at the high school level, we have to play who we have to play. But I think Greencastle is going to run into a buzzsaw tonight. Bishop Chittard and Coach Lorenzano over there, who, by the way, is a Cathedral grad, they just do a great job. They've been in so many big games at Chittard. This is just probably another blip on their schedule. And Bishop Chittard is a very, very good football team. I think Greencastle's had a great run. They obviously have a very fine defense. It'll be interesting to see how many points Chittard can put on them. But again, Chittard's probably the class of 3A.
Well, if you're going to be a high school team and you want to make a statement, Greencastle has a chance to do that with their defense tonight and show people just how good they are. Weibo, Western Boone at Hamilton Heights, what can you tell us on those two?
Well, Western Boone and Hamilton Heights, Western Boone is 9-1, Hamilton Heights is 10-1. I think that you'll probably see Hamilton Heights come out of that situation. Their defense played very, very well last week. They shut out Twin Lakes 38-0. Again, Hamilton Heights has a very good defense. Western Boone won the game just in the last 8 minutes. They're 9-1. Pretty good football game, but I think Hamilton Heights offense may prevail.
And down in 2A, we've got Ritter at Broad Ripple. How about Ritter playing Broad Ripple?
Well, you know, if you love football, you got to be really happy for Broad Ripple. It's an Indianapolis public school system school. It's a charter school. You know, they moved a lot of students around in the city, and it's really wonderful that Broad Ripple has made it to this stage of the game. But I think Ritter's going to roll. Ritter just continues to put points on the board. They beat Speedway last week, 49-21. Ritter's 11-1. Their quarterback threw for 270 yards and 4 touchdowns. I just think I think Ritter just may have too much firepower this time around.
And then down in Class A, I'm looking at some different games. I know Lafayette Central Catholic is always pretty good year in and year out. I see Eastern Hancock at Cecina. What can you tell us about Cecina?
Well, Cecina beat Knightstown last week 55-13. And it's kind of interesting piece in that game is they had one running back Tommy Allgood. He had 8 carries for 158 yards. That's a pretty good average per carry. And their other running back, David Tarver, had 9 carries for 58 yards with 3 touchdowns. And they put that game away in the first half at, you know, 26-7 at halftime. But Cena is 8-3. They're ranked 7th in the state, and I think that you will see Cena move forward.
Okay, Bill, this is Joe. Hey, I got a couple questions here for you. Number one, can you explain a little bit about the we're going to be going to 6 classes in football next year, if I'm not mistaken? And then also, second question is, how does it work? There are going to be teams that going by a point system, if in 2 years in a row they reach a certain level, they'll be going up a class. Could you explain those at all?
Sure, Joe. It's a really great time for that question because it's what happens this week, next week, and the week after that's really going to impact a lot of football teams. There are going to be 6 classes. You're going to see the Carmels and the North Centrals and the Warren Centrals move up to that 6 class, and there aren't going to be a lot of teams in that class. But this point system, it's called the success factor. I think you might want to call it either the Catholic rule or the private school rule, but the success factor is a 2-year cycle. And you look at the team over 2 years, a team earns 4 points if they win a state championship. They earn 3 if they win the semi-state, and then they win 2 if they win a regional. So in a 2-year period, if you get 6 points, you then move up 1 class for 2 years. This weekend, you have Cathedral, Chittard, Bishop Lurs, and Lafayette Central Catholic, who all were state champions last year. So if they win this week, if those 4 teams win this week and next week, all 4 of those teams will move up one section. There's 7 other teams that are still playing that will move up if they continue to win. Clumps East and South Bend Washington, South Bend St. Joe, and as you know, Evansville, Montague and Cecina, Sheridan and Linton Stockton. Most of those teams have to either win the semi-state or the state to get their 6 points. But you're talking about 11 high school football programs that if they keep winning, they're going to be in a whole different tournament next year.
You know, Bill, I got to tell you, I've been in the public school and I've been in the Catholic school, both teaching, coaching, and in some administration. And when some of this stuff started to come up, and let's face it, it's been around for a while now. You know, if you go back historically, there was a time when Catholic schools couldn't participate in the IHSA basketball sectional. Kentucky has done some different things. Different states have done different things. I really struggle with this rule. I struggle with how it came about, and I struggle with penalizing people for having successful programs. I know the Indianapolis area has had, and I'm certainly not trying to step on anybody's toes. There's concern about where kids are going to school. But, you know, from an IHSA standpoint, and I hope we can get into this more in depth as we go on in a future show and maybe get somebody involved at the IHSA as well to talk with us. I just don't like the idea that coaches come in, they build solid programs, they work hard all year round in the weight room, in the training, conditioning, keeping their kids out of trouble, getting them to make sure they're the kind of students they need to be in the classroom, and then they get penalized for being successful.
Well, Coach, I think those are good points, and I think the thought I'd share on it is at the high school level, we should be making decisions for kids. We shouldn't be making it for administrators or fans or politicians. And I think if you drill down in this whole thing, and we can just use Cathedral as an example, my son, if he's fortunate enough to win a football game today and next week, they're going to bump up next year. And you know what? My son, who's a freshman, is going to have to play that schedule, and he didn't win those games that bumped him up. There's, you know, everything is cyclical in high school sports, whether you're at a private school or a public school. And we're in this day and age of instant gratification. Everybody needs a trophy, even if they're 0-10. And I just think we've watered it down, and it's too bad. But I can tell you the folks at Cathedral and Chittard, at least the folks that I've talked to, are saying, let's go, buckle up, and we'll just have 6 state champions then.
Well, and that's all you can really do. And I understand that you're going to get the medicine whether you want to take it or not. But I look at a team like I'll just give you an example, Evansville Memorial. They went to back-to-back state championship games and finished runner-up. But had those rules been in place, they would have seen their success cause them to move up. But the last couple years, they've struggled. Again, you're talking about the cyclical part. And I know some people say, well, no, everybody, they're recruiting. No, not all these schools that have success are out there bringing in other players. I mean, it's just not as rampant as what people might think. And it is cyclical, and I just hate seeing people get penalized for their success. Okay, we're going to have to end this segment. Billy Somm, always good, good stuff. Down the road, I know I want to talk a little NCAA stuff with you, and not just the sports, but what goes on behind the scenes as far as some of the rules that are out there and some of the things the coaches have to go through. But great stuff. Thanks for being with us. You're going to join us next week, right?
Yes, sir. Take care, Coach and Joe.
Look forward to hearing from you next week. We're going to go to break. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. Buy a fence in October and enjoy 90 days same as cash. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget. Does your website work for you? Think of your website as an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a website that doesn't produce results. Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help whip your site into shape. If you don't have a site yet, let Idea Fusion Media walk you through the entire process, from domain registration and hosting setup to the design and implementation of your site. To see how Idea Fusion Media can help you, visit ideafusionmedia.com. Again, that's ideafusionmedia.com. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you.
You get a job, Spicoli.
What for?
You need money.
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Yeah, we're back. We're back with Coach K and Joe Show, and we're going to our Glory Days segment, and it's going to be pretty exciting. You come into this, and you got a Spicoli introduction before the Glory Days song, and I had a few Spicolis when I was teaching in class, but they all grew up to be great young men and adults and dads. So we're back at the Coach K and Joe Show, and our guest for the Glory Days segment is somebody that I just loved playing sports with in high school and watching play, and more than just his ability on the court, on the field, on the baseball diamond, was the great smile and the dimples he always carried with him. He's always in a good mood, at least on the outside. We want to welcome to the show in our Glory Days segment, Mr. Mike Berger. Mike, are you with us?
I am, Coach. How are you doing?
Hey, it's great to hear from you. Mike, before we get talking about all your wonderful accomplishments on the diamond, football field, basketball court, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're at now, your family, and what you're doing?
Sure. I've lived in St. Louis now for 20 years. I'm married to my wife, Shannon, and I'm a State Farm agent over here. I've been a State Farm agent for a little over 16 years, and I've got a junior in high school, Jake, and a 14-year-old daughter, an 8th grader, Ellie. And Jake's a baseball player, and Ellie is a tennis player. So, you know, we're just doing great. Love coming back to Jasper as often as we can, and especially Strassenfest and Thanksgiving, and you know, just everything over here is going great.
Well, man, it's great to have you, and you know, I want you to – don't be nervous, Mike. I know you're live, but we just have a show. We have a little fun and talk sports and just the direction things are going. You know, I think one of the interesting things that I'd like to start with, question-wise, is when you go back to your high school period, today, and you have a son, Jake, that's playing baseball, and I see it with the young people today, it gets a little more specialized than it was, but you look back at a Mike Berger, and here's Mike Berger, who played baseball and started and excelled, who played football, started several positions and excelled, played basketball, started and excelled. You don't see that a whole lot anymore. And, Mike, when you look back at that and you look at the three sports that you excelled in and going from one to the other and using the different skills and using the different muscle memories, I mean, do you ever look back and say, wow, you know, three different sports, how did I get through all that and to have that kind of success?
Well, you know, I mean, things obviously are just so different now. And you know, I think that you see there's so many more overuse injuries today than there were when we were kids. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to, you know, having the repetition of just doing a sport. I mean, if you're fortunate, you play two sports now. But by and large, I mean, most kids by the time they, you know, they get to high school, certainly, and most of them before, you know, are playing one sport. And, you know, I think that the, you know, the overuse injuries are a direct result of that. And I, you know, I certainly, you know, at least over here in St. Louis, there, unless it's a very, very small school, there are very few three-sport athletes, and most of them are one sport with an occasional two. So, yeah, it's certainly a lot different.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point, overuse injuries. And I think a lot of times we are seeing that, and I think we're seeing it in younger kids. You know, a lot of times having coached and things, I'll have parents will come up and say, well, what do you think about my son just playing AAU basketball? Or, you know, my son's just going to play soccer all the time. And I really struggle with that in the grade school level. And I look back at a player like you, Mike Ballinger, the Joe Milligan, different people that we grew up back in the 80s, and just to remind people, you graduated in 82. You were a year behind me. You graduated with my brother Don. And it just seemed like we were always going from one sport to another. And even if we weren't playing an organized sport, man, we were out playing wiffle ball. We were out playing tag touch football. We were out doing something competitive and yet fun, and it wasn't always in an organized practice setting.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, we talk all that. I coached Jake for 11 years in baseball over here. And, you know, and for the most part, and I was a big proponent of we would play maybe 40, 50 games in the summer, but we would practice significantly more because that's really where you get the, you know, the fundamental skill development. And it's just amazing to me, you know, to think back when, you know, when I was a 14-year-old, I probably played – you know, a 12-game schedule and then played maybe, you know, another five, if we were lucky, all-star games. But we would play 50 Sandlot games. And, you know, it's amazing how much more you learned, and not just from the sports standpoint from the Sandlot, but you also learned some key life skills like conflict resolution. You know, you learned either how to resolve an argument with your buddies or you learned how to fight, you know, and it's a lot easier having a calm discussion and working it out and having a do-over, you know. And I think kids today, you know, I just don't think they get that because everything is so organized and structured. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, I heard your previous guest talk about, you know, doing things, you know, for the kids. And that's, you know, that's really, I think, to some extent, we've gotten away from that and everything has changed in that respect. And, you know, I don't see it going back, but at the same time, I think we have to recognize that, you know, there's a lot about that you sure wish you could bring back and give those kids that experience because I think they'll learn a lot more than just the sports.
Mike, this is Joe. You know, just talking to you, you know, I haven't talked to you for a while, but it's funny how, you know, the connection from back when we were 13, 14 years old and we're gone for 2-3 weeks and playing high school football and baseball together – you know, talking to someone like you, talking to someone like John Kremp, talking to someone like you know, Mike Ballinger, the connection comes back right away. And the one thing I've always told people, my kids all know who Mike Berger is. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever met any of my kids, but I've always told him, though, that, you know, whenever the game was on the line, Mike Berger's the one you wanted up to bat, the one you wanted with the football in his hands. And, you know, if I remember right, in the sectional of 81, you know, Ballinger had fouled out, and, you know, who came up big? You and Dean Murder, you know. And if I'm not mistaken, were you sick that night?
Yeah, you know, I tell my kids, you know, when you grow up in Jasper, you know, you grow up with – you know, with thinking about, you know, being a Jasper Wildcat, and certainly one of the big dreams as you're shooting baskets at the farm is winning a sectional championship. And so here it is in 81, and we at Jasper hadn't won one in a while, and we finally win one. And, you know, this is your moment to get, you know, to get hugs and kisses. And I had mono so bad, and I had this horrible, horrible rash, and my lips looked like, you know, they were duck lips. They were swelling so bad, and so people would run toward me, and then they would take one look at me and run the other way. So you know, it was very sick, and you know, that's funny. But, you know, I was thinking, guys, you know, the great memories that I have, and, you know, Kenny was on that team and was out there on the floor with me. And then when we won the semi-state in baseball, you know, Joe, you caught the last ball standing right next to me, and so it just brings back some great memories.
Now, if I remember,
you know,
right,
Mike, there are so many things that we can talk about in your career in high school and then moving on to college, and we do want to touch base on a few of them, but I think I remember after that sectional championship, you didn't run away from too many hugs and kisses. I think half the girls had mono the next week, if I remember correctly. So,
well, you know, no comment.
Hey, you know, Joe brought up, you know, big clutch moments. And, you know, I can jump into your junior year, Jasper Wildcat baseball, Coach Ray Howard. I'm sure you have great memories of that team. You had outstanding player in Mike Ballinger. Man, you had so many characters on that team, from our own Joe to Phil Sheeter, Gip, to John Kremp, all those guys. And you guys were solid all the way through the season. You get into the semi-state championship game, bottom of the ninth, 3-2, you guys got to get the big hit. Mike Berger's up, and he hits it out of the park against a pretty darn good pitcher, I believe, in Derek Lindauer. Your memories of that game?
Yeah, you know, it's, again, one of those things as you grow up, and, you know, I saw a lot of Jasper High School baseball games growing up. My neighbor Danny Foos played, and so I would go watch. And so, you know, you kind of live for that moment, and we're so close in that game. And you know, we just – it was almost surreal as you're playing. And, you know, we had a team that really was a group of guys that had played together in a Pony League All-Star thing, the tournament that Joe was talking about. And so we were a very tight-knit group. And so that, and in that game, you know, you think back of those times in the Pony League tournament and how many things were so similar. But as we got behind in that game, because we had been through so much as a group, you know, we never felt like we were out of it. Even when we go to the last inning, you know, we force extra innings. We were down 2-0, I believe, in the last inning, and really, you know, breathing, you know, gasping our last breath, and yet there was a calm in the dugout that I recall that, you know, we just never felt like we were out of it. And so, you know, when you have a group of guys like that who just genuinely believe in each other, you know, it's amazing, you know, the type of things like that comeback that you can accomplish. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, you hit the home run, and you know, obviously it's a great feeling and a big moment. But more importantly than that, you really, you know, I really look back with fondness on just what a good group of guys that was, and how much we believed in each other. And so, you know, it's a great memory.
Well, you know, you mentioned Pony League and the similarities, and I am getting old, but if I do recollect right, you did get the hit to win that as well. So, you know, I guess that's why whenever, you know, it was deja vu all over again. So when you were up to bat, I was very calm. I knew something big was going to come from Mike Berger. So,
well, but I do
remember you kissing a few people after the game too, though.
Oh gosh, that I don't remember.
And that had to be just a wonderful feeling, not just to hit that home run in a big tournament game, but it was actually to vault us, Jasper, into the state finals for the first time since 1968. And we know Jasper baseball has gone on to get there and win it several times, but Coach Howard had done such a good job of building that program. He'd fallen short of just a couple times against some great teams. I can remember the Don Mattingly teams of Memorial took out some pretty good Jasper teams, which your neighbor, Danny Foose, was probably on, and then for you to be able to come back and do that. Let me switch gears to football, because I think you had an interesting career in football at Jasper High School. As a junior, you're playing quarterback. You're a great runner, not a bad passer. I think you might even kick some extra points, if I'm not mistaken. But your evolution in the backfield as a quarterback to a premier running back in the state of Indiana, what was that like during your sophomore into your junior season and then the evolution into your senior season on the football field?
Well, you know, as a sophomore, I actually was a slot back for Jasper. And so, you know, I played some running back back in seventh and eighth grade and, you know, always, I guess, you know, wanted to be a running back, but, you know, I was willing to do whatever, you know, wherever Coach Brewer needed me, I was happy to play and help any way I could. And so played slot back and, you know, Mike Ballinger was a quarterback and we had a pretty good connection and were able to do some things. And then he decided going into his senior year that he wasn't going to play football, and so and I think, you know, I said there were like 10 guys in line and they said whoever wants to play quarterback step forward and 9 guys step back, and I was still standing in the same place, and so I ended up as a quarterback that year, and you know, it was probably, you know, through the high school career, probably the strangest year. We had a lot of weird injuries and illnesses, and it was just kind of a strange year, and you know, we battled through it and you know, it finished with a winning record when that was in doubt at one point. But, you know, we even changed to an option-style offense for the last couple of games. You know, it's just that was kind of year it was that, you know, Coach Brewer would change an offense with 2 games to go in the season just because of all the injuries and illness. And so then we get to our senior year and actually started the first game, I think, as a quarterback. And so then – you know, things just weren't, and for whatever reason, you know, we just weren't clicking. And so Coach Brewer decided to make a change halfway through the second game. And, you know, things just kind of worked from there. And, you know, we had such a good offensive line and Tom Weidenbender, you know, blocking as a fullback and a good runner himself. And, you know, it's just strange sometimes how a change just kind of, I guess, puts all the dominoes in place. And it was a great year and a great group of guys. And, you know, for me, that senior group that I played with, you know, we were pretty pedestrian as seventh and eighth graders, and just to see the development of that group and the success and we had as seniors, it was just, it was a special year, no question about it.
Yeah, you had a great group and you had a tight group, being a year younger and having a brother in your grade as well gave me a chance to see you guys and to see Scott and Roger Sager develop and Tom Weidenbender, who went on to play a little football at Indiana University, Scott Roller, different people came up and Coach Brewer and his staff saw where an adjustment needed to be made. And Mike, you really were just a great athlete, but you had a great nose and understanding for what to do and where to go with the ball. And I remember we were coming out in Jasper. Tony Ahrens had been the premier back and the person to follow. And of course, Tony's the head coach now and doing a great job. But you came in, and once you solidified yourself in that position, you brought strength. You were low to the ground. Your body was built. Even on the basketball court, it helped you defensively and cutting and moving on the basketball court. You had that low center of gravity, strong in the legs, strong in the shoulders, and you just had a great sense of where to go and when you got there, what to do with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of times you try to explain. I mean, I've had people over the years ask, you know, kind of, you know, what it's like, or, you know, what do you see? And, you know, it's interesting when you have those physical attributes that, you know, I think make you hard to find in a mass of humanity. You know, when you're, you know, 5'9" and built low to the ground, you're hard to get a hold of. And so without question, that's a real advantage for that particular position. And, you know, and I think the other thing that it's hard to explain, but, you know, as I would run a football, it would really be happening almost in slow motion. I mean, it's really hard to explain how you would just kind of see things develop, as they occur. And you know, there's a lot of times where, and I don't know if it's a focus thing, you know, that you get yourself to that level from a concentration standpoint or what, but it seems like you're in a dream while you're running a football and just a dream that's actually unfolding where it's actually happening in front of you, and you're kind of able to see, you know, kind of what's happening. It's a really hard thing to explain, but I think that coupled with the fact that, you know, you get in all those people and you're the littlest guy out there, one of the smallest guys, you're just hard to get a hold of.
Well, and that brings up an interesting point and really segue back to your baseball career. You know, Scott Rowland, who played basketball for me in high school, as we've talked over the years in his professional baseball career, that's what he talks about, that he could see that ball coming out of that pitcher's hand so clearly. He could see the rotation of the ball. It just slowed down. And I've heard Don Mattingly talk about that. And I know in basketball, and at times I could be a pretty decent shooter, you just have a sense of where the basket is. And it didn't matter the size, or it doesn't matter who's on you. You just get that sense of where it is, and you know where to go with the shot and how to finish. And in your baseball career, you get done with high school. I mean, you literally are a three-sport, not just letter winner, but star. And you were, Mike, and I know you're a pretty humble guy and everything, but you really were. And it's time to go on to college. Talk to us a little bit about where you were on football or baseball, and you end up choosing baseball, and you go on to U of E with Coach Brownlee. Talk to us a little bit about that decision-making time and what led you where you went to.
Well, you know, it was really, you know, it's an interesting thing where, you know, I absolutely loved playing football. And so you kind of get to that decision point, and there's an element of it, you know, I felt like, you know, at that point you don't know what the future is going to be, and so I think you factor in, you know, would I like to do something after college? Would I like to play at the professional level? And, you know, I think any kid would say when he's a senior in high school, I mean, I don't know many that wouldn't answer that question yes. And so, you know, you do an analysis and you really, you know, ultimately come down to, you know, I think, do I have a better chance, you know, to do something with baseball and than football? And I think obviously that answer would be yes. And so, you know, that really was a very hard decision and, you know, it was a really hard thing. I played in the, you know, and it's hard to talk about it, but you played in the North-South All-Star game. And when I walked off the field in football, and when I walked off the field, you know, and I think I was the only one on both teams that wasn't going on to play football somewhere. And so, you know, it really slaps you in the face that, man, that part of your life is over, you know, but at the same time, you know, very excited to go on to Evansville and play baseball and pursue that baseball dream. And I played for a great coach. I just saw Coach Brownlee a few weeks ago on a recruiting trip with my son. And, you know, it was a great experience. And, you know, really was at the time, Evansville, as I went there, was just kind of, they were at that fork in the road. And, you know, from there, I really, you know, always take pride in the fact that I feel like I was on the cutting edge, I guess, or in the leading edge of, of that program really becoming a, you know, a really good baseball program, and now competing in the Missouri Valley, and you know, had a lot of great teams, a lot of great success. And so, you know, it certainly wasn't an easy decision to give up something that I love so much. But at the same time, you know, a big factor was being hopeful that, you know, that it may go to the next level from there.
I don't think there's any doubt that you were a major part of that. And I know as time went on, your brother Jim would go to U of V and play with Andy Bennis. My brother John would go to U of V. Number of Jasper players, solid players, went on to U of V, and I think you really helped to open the recruiting door for that. And as I was coaching, Coach Brownlee was also a basketball official for a while, and I would have him in a couple games, and we'd talk about that connection with the door opening and the great career you had at U of V, and really how you opened the door to bring some other outstanding players and build today what is. It's a solid program. It's had a number of kids, players going to the major leagues, a great stadium and Bronze Stadium right now. And you should take have a lot of pride in the fact that you were a part of that. Mike, as we end this segment, I just wanted to tell you that what a pleasure it has been to talk to you, but also what a pleasure it was to grow up around you and to play athletics with you. I always felt like you had this great work ethic. I know your parents owned a farm, and you guys worked awfully hard on that farm, but they supported you in everything. I can remember Little League Baseball and the blue aluminum bat that you used to have. You would knock them out of the park down at Little League. But it was always a pleasure to play with you and watch your brother Jim play, because you guys were humble, and yet you showed enthusiasm, you showed a great effort. You were team players, and you understood how important it was to win, but to win together. And it was really a pleasure.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. You know, I joke sometimes with my kids that, you know, it's amazing how easy it is to go to practice and to, you know, do all the work and have that great work ethic when, you know, your alternative is go do farm work. So, you know, you tended to relish, you know, every second you had with just playing the game and being with your teammates, because, you know, you knew that, you know, if you didn't do well or you know, didn't work at it, then, you know, there was something else waiting for you back at home. So, you know, kiddingly saying that. But, you know, I've been very fortunate. I'll always cherish those times in Jasper and, you know, guys like you two and so many others that were just such great teammates and, you know, just provided so many great memories.
Well, Mike, we're going to end this segment. Again, thanks for being with us. Remember, for your friends over in the St. Louis area, this is podcast and archive, so they can listen to this and learn a little bit more about Mike Berger. Jake and Ellie, I'm sure, will love to hear about their dad. So thanks for being with us, Mike.
All right, appreciate you guys having me. Good luck with the show.
You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
So what's in the November issue of Jasper Today? The Jasper Life with Mayor Terry Seitz, Sha Na Na, JHS Pops Concert, Football Diaries, U Indies, Adam Kinese, Eye on the Arch, Jordan Jones, Homegrown Business, Grounded Organic and Natural Foods, Jasper Icon, Cyril Burge, the Jasper Marching Band Report, and much more. Go to www.jaspertodayonline starting November 1st and click on the magazine cover of the Jasper Train Depot. You can also go to www.jaspertodayonline and read past issues. Jasper Today, taking Jasper into the 21st century as your multimedia magazine about Jasperites.
We are back! We are back! We are getting Doug back!
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. And we'll never...
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Just a reminder, next week we will be on Thursday from 11 to 1 instead of Friday. I'll be in the air flying to Miami, my daughter's last home game as a volleyball player, and I'll be down there. And a quick note, you heard the ad on Jasper Today, and I invite everybody to go to www.jaspertodayonline and read the November issue. We've got a nice article on Adam Kinese, who's playing at the University of Indianapolis, and also our student athlete of the week is Cade Elliott, Jasper football fullback. And we're now joined by Kurt Guxel. Kurt, how's it going?
Great, Joe. How are you guys? What a great segment with Mike Berger. I mean, you talk about one of the best athletes ever to play at Jasper High School, three-sport guy. And when you're a middle school kid like me in the early 80s, man, what a icon. Unbelievable kind of player he was and stuff. And, you know, some guys think they're tough now. I love to pop in a tape and show them some of Mike Berger's stuff. My goodness, that was great, guys.
Mr. Yeah, well, it was great, and he was even a better teammate. He really was. You know, when you're when you're growing up, it's competitive, and you know, he's starting and somebody else isn't, or he's playing in this situation and you're not. But it was hard not to root him on, because he worked hard every day in practice. He was willing to take the punishment. He dole out the punishment, and he went from one sport to another. Never gave the coaches problems. That competitive Mike Berger dimple smile on his face. So yeah, that was a great segment. But man, now we're into the three best friends. We're the three best friends segment. So Joe, can we record that and put that on YouTube?
Yeah, that's no problem. You know, the only thing, one quick more thing about Mike Berger is, the thing about Mike Berger was Mike Berger made everyone feel special. He even though he was a special player, he just treated himself as just an ordinary person, and all the way from senior to freshman, he made every one of those people feel like a part of the team, and everyone on the whatever team he played on would have ran through a brick wall for the guy.
All right, Kurt, let's talk a little BCS. We've got a big game this weekend. Les Miles and his LSU Tigers going, and they're going to be playing Alabama. What do you think?
Oh, last year, that was the game of the year. I mean, that was, everybody talked about that from week one. This is going to be a great game. LSU, very good defensively. Alabama, likewise. I just don't see anybody beating Nick Saban, though, when it comes down to the brass tacks. I mean, Saban, SEC game, I like Bama, Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way. And I know that both teams have been kind of, I don't want to say maligned, but questioned about their offensive output. But I will say that I believe that Alabama probably is, I think, is a little bit better offensively, a little bit better, and I think they're going to be stronger defensively. So I think that we're going to see Alabama come out on top on that one. Notre Dame's moved up in the BCS standings. Kansas State continues to play well. And, Kurt, I'll tell you what, I was the Kansas State quarterback. He is one big package.
Yeah, Kwan, he's a good quarterback. He's got that weird throwing motion, but they just keep on putting points on the board. And you mentioned Notre Dame. I mean, I that shocked me. They went down there, and they totally shut down Oklahoma. They took Landry Jones, and they just – shut Oklahoma down, and then they put some points on the board themselves. I mean, Golson was good. They were able to run the football a little bit and pick their spots throwing it. So hats off to Notre Dame.
Yeah, I was really happy for Coach Kelly and his team. I thought that any time there was a big play situation that had to be made, it just came into Notre Dame. That the interception at the end of the game by Taylor, I mean – you talk about a signature win and maybe what I would call a legacy victory for Notre Dame and Coach Kelly's time there going forward. Not the greatest victory that he'll have as the Notre Dame coach, for sure, but a very significant one in the early part of his tenure at Notre Dame.
Oh, I would think so. I mean, a road victory at a place that teams don't go there and win very often. Yeah, I would say so.
Let's switch gears. Let's talk about the Hoosiers. They have a game last night, exhibition game with Indianapolis Wesleyan. Got off to a slow start. It was not on TV, but it was streamed on the internet, and it was on radio. And it looked like that there was not anything significant that came out of it. There was balanced scoring by the Hoosiers. Probably a positive note. I mean, I would think so as a former coach. And as far as looking at a player, Mo Creek came back, played pretty decent. And, can he make the same cuts? Can he be as quick as he was before? And will he hold up physically? But a good first outing in front of a big crowd.
Well, he's kind of a forgotten man, and rightfully so because of those injuries. But if he can come off the bench and spot you 10 or 15 minutes or whatever they ask of that night, or if it's a matchup thing with a certain team, that'll be great. And seeing him in practice, I've had a chance to see that a little bit. He still favors that knee, and you would after all the surgeries that he's had. But he's just another one of those guys that that they can go at. And, you know, I was talking to somebody this morning, you know, there were a lot of people that were happy when they were down, and they reveled in that. Now the same people are the ones asking, well, are they going to have enough basketballs to go around, or where are they going to find all this playing time for these guys? You know, and I told them, hey, trust me, it's better to have guys than not have guys. They'll figure it out, and with the way they play, they'll be all right. So I'm happy for their concern about our team, but I think it'll work out.
Now, I got a quick question. And
I didn't mean you, Joe. I wasn't talking about you, Joe.
Well, I'm being the big IU fan I am, I have a couple questions.
We're friends here, remember that.
Number one, what's the story with Hanner, how do you say his last name, the foreign dude, and Peter Jerkin? Neither of them right now have been cleared. What's the story?
They're fine. They've been cleared.
They have been? Okay.
Well, go ahead.
And number two, IU got another sign. We had talked about the oversigning last week. I guess they're not oversigned yet, but my question is, there's another guy come in, probably the best of that class as far as if they got him. If you were Colin Hartman, would you be nervous right now?
Well, you know what? Maybe Colin Hartman wants to go play somewhere else. You know, I mean, if that's the opportunity that comes up for him, these things will work out. I mean, again, it's a situation where you got to do that if you're a coach. I mean, you're not going to turn people away. They got to cover again, we talked about covering your backside. I mean, if the coaches aren't worried about it, I'm not worried about it.
Now, did they maybe let someone like a Hartman verbal too soon?
What they do is, like we talked about this last week, they ask guys if they want to come. Maybe player A is wavering, so player B says, I'll come. They throw it out to two or three guys, and if whoever takes it, you know, who's the first one to take it, they do. So, yeah, I don't know how it's going to work out. I mean,
I think it's a better problem to have.
They know
than
what
not,
they're doing.
Bert, you got a situation where people want to come play for Tom Crean and the Hoosiers, and that's a good thing. That's
Or Cal, or Mike Krzyzewski. I mean, again, we talked about it, it's big boy basketball. I mean, that's the way you do it now. I mean, that's the way the game is played. I'm not one to criticize Cal. I'm not, you know, that's what you do. If you want to be good, you can't have it both ways. You can't, you know, recruit the guys that, you know, you're supposed to and then stop and then be good at the same time. You can't have it both ways.
It's a changing landscape, and I'm sure that it would be addressed down the road, but you have to play – I don't want to say play the game, but you have to do with what you can get. And if it was a 3-year program that Duke created for sports psychology a few years ago to say, hey, we'll get you in the NBA a year early to one and done at Kentucky, to now it's IU, got this stable of players that want to come there. They're not going to turn them away. They're not going to say no at this point because the landscape changes so quickly with players going in, players coming out. I'm not near as concerned about it as maybe Joe and other Purdue or non-IU fans might be.
No,
it's not with Joe. I mean, I'm not talking about him. I mean, because, you know, Purdue, they're going to try to do this too. Every team's going to try to do this too. But back to the actual basketball, Coach, I want to ask you, as you look at this team, what's going to be important for them to do? What are they going to have to do to, you know, to be a good team like everybody thinks they're going to be? And I'll see, you know, what you say, and I want to throw something out to you.
Well, I think how good a team we're going to be is depending on how good a team we are when Zeller's not on the floor. And I'm just going to tell you right now, last year, when Zeller was on the floor, we just did a tremendous job of moving the basketball, reversing it, skipping it, getting it inside, kicking it outside. When Zeller would leave the floor, we had times where we fell backwards, and Coach is bringing them around from there. They got better as the year went on, and we started to just run up and down the court and do too much dribble penetration, and quick shots. We're going to be as good as Zeller carries us, but when Zeller's off the court, that's when we're going to become the championship team. And that's why I'm interested to see how Mo Creek holds up, because he gives us a little bit more athletic ability, a little bit more skill with the basketball, and the ability not to just score, but put people in positions to score.
Yeah,
that's the area that I'm most concerned about. The second place is on the defensive side. When Zeller's out of the game and they're not scared of the big guy in the middle, and I know we have Jerkin and a few other guys, but we're talking about top-notch player. How good are we when we get over to help and rotate? Are we communicating and not giving up the easy baskets? And then the third thing is turnovers. We got to protect the ball. We got to create turnovers, and we got to keep from making turnovers. I like how Coach Green, and I was outspoken early on about some of the things, but I like how he is, as he has joined the up-paced tempo of the Big East style with the Big Ten, more half court, and he's kind of melding that together, marrying that together, and it makes us, I think, a very difficult team to defend.
Well, I think the key is how they transition on offense, how they get that ball, and it starts with the defense and the rebounding, up the floor to get some of those easy baskets or hidden points. Because, Kenny, you know this, being a coach, in a Big Ten situation or a high-level situation, if you have to make your living on the offensive end in a half-court set all the time, even the better teams are going to struggle because teams scout you, teams take away stuff, and it's tough to score against good teams. But how can you get that ball off the defensive glass, up the floor, and not total run and gun, I'm not talking about that, but some of those quick hitters in transition, I think that's going to be a big key, and it is for any good team that plays at that level, because trying to score against half-court defense in this day and age is tough.
Well, when you put pressure on the defense, those are big keys in a game, and I think we go back to what we used to be called, the Hurrying Hoosiers, and I think that we really will be, because I don't think any big man coming into this season on the college basketball level gets up and down the floor any better than Zeller does. He gets up and down the floor. He gets up and down the floor as well as better than anybody, and I think that's going to lead to those points you're talking about. He doesn't waste time dragging himself down the floor. He gets a rebound, he gets it out, and he's sprinting the floor. And if fans will watch that, watch him sprint the floor. He gets there, he gets down to the block. But you know what I think we're going to see this year, Kirk? I think we're going to see an expanded play out of Cody. I think he's going to help us, not just in the blocks, but I think his game is going to step out to the elbow areas, the 15, 16-foot mid-range play where he can hit the shot, or you got to defend him, and he's going to take you to the basket.
There's no doubt. I mean, plus he's gotten stronger. That's been well documented. So that's going to be good next couple of weeks to see how that goes. Anything else good? What have you guys been talking about the rest of the day?
Well, we hit on this high school sports and the playoffs.
Yeah.
We know it's Championship Friday. So for teams that have been waiting 3 weeks to get to this point, they're there, and we should have a good one at Jerry Brewer Field with Wrights and Jasper.
Oh, it should be a great game, and I really like the way Jasper's playing. They seem more detail oriented. They got a really good defense, and I look for big things tonight out of the Wildcats. It should be good.
Kurt, what about Schilling? And I, you know, your namesake, Kurt Schilling. No, I'm just teasing. Obviously, great pitcher in the major leagues. ESPN, Baseball Tonight, and had some trouble. Being reported that that Rhode Island, the state of Rhode Island, is suing him for some business ventures for $75 million.
Wow, that's a lot of coin right there. My goodness, what possibly could he have done to get in that situation?
Well, the interesting thing was he started a video game creation company, and he took some loans and business incentives from the state, and the company went belly up. Now, I'm not going to get into right, wrong, or indifferent, but I look at some of these professional athletes, and Kurt seems like a pretty intelligent guy, but I look at some of these professional athletes who made literally tens of millions of dollars. And my wife, who's a financial analyst for Edward Jones, if you just put that money in the bank, a reasonable amount, in municipal bonds, interest-free bonds, things like that, you can get 7-10% coming back. I don't know why you'd want to risk that kind of money on a venture like that. But another situation where some of these guys that are successful in one area maybe get themselves too far out in another area. Pascal Perez, former major league pitcher, killed in a home invasion shooting. You know, these are people that we've grown up with and seen be successful in the game, and then difficult and sometimes tragic things happen to them.
Yeah, that's sad for those two guys. Yeah, most definitely.
Hey, Kurt, what do you think about the NBA getting started here? Pacers, where do you see them this year?
Well, I mean, they were very good last year, but they've got some question marks. I think they've got a little chip on their shoulder because nationally people got them, you know, maybe 7th, 8th in the Eastern Conference, and they thought they were a little better than that. But, you know, in the playoffs, they didn't show it. They're going to be without Granger for a while. But they've got some nice, young, real young players. Paul George is going to be a star. Roy Hibbert, I mean, he just goes to work every night. They talk about guys that work. He works. He gets better. He stayed in Indy all summer. They'll be all right, but I like Frank Vogel. I think he's really good. So I love NBA basketball. You turn that on every night and watch the greatest guys in the game play. I mean, the sets that the coaches come up with, that's why everybody wants to get to that level, whether you coach, play, broadcast even. I love it. I mean, I'm probably in the minority, but I love it.
Okay, next week we're going to get together, and Kurt, come ready to talk just Big Ten basketball. We're going to talk about the Big Ten teams, talk about what we've got going on, who looks good, who may struggle a little bit. Joe,
guys,
predictions?
Yeah, we'll do some quick predictions here.
Oh.
We'll go real fast. We'll go IU is playing at home against Iowa.
Hoosiers at home after the big win against Illinois. Iowa has trouble putting points on the board, and Hoosiers outscore them.
Kenny?
I agree. Hoosiers.
Okay. Notre Dame at home against Pitt.
Irish all the way. Pitt, not very good.
Don't stub your toes. If you're really a good team, you don't stub your toes against a Pitt. Notre Dame.
Okay, and doing a JasperTodayOnline.com theme, seeing how we just came out with our November issue and the story of Adam Kinese, we're going to go with UIndy at home against Delta State.
UIndy, throw number 80 the ball.
Number 80 needs to get the ball, that's right.
Don't know much about it, but I'm going with UIndy all the way. Thank you for joining us this week, Kurt, as always, and thanks to our listeners. And remember, if you want to be a partner in advertisement on this show, give us a call at Milligan Communications. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.